isn't it?
Welcome to Winning Starts on Monday with Andrew Moore.
And he puts on the Superman cape again.
Yes, hello. Welcome to Winning Starts on Monday as we look back on the final round of the NRL season and look ahead to the 2018 final series, which kicks off on Friday night. I'm Andrew Moore. It's great to be with you after a weekend in which the top eight changed regularly during the round, culminating in Brisbane's 48 points to 16 annihilation of Manly at Lang Park. The Broncos improved from 8th to 6th. They secure a home final. Corey Oates was on fire for the Broncos, and they head into the finals with three very impressive wins in a row. Cronulla secured fourth spot with a well-earned 30 points to 18 win over Canterbury. And credit to the Bulldogs, they certainly had a real crack. Valentine Holmes, a standout for the Sharks, is becoming one of the most exciting players to watch in the entire competition. I'll speak later in this podcast with their hooker, Jaden Brayley. Also over the weekend, the Sydney Roosters clinched the minor premiership for the fourth time in 6 years under the coaching of Trent Robinson. Congratulations to the Roosters. They really didn't have to get out of third gear to thrash the Wooden Spooners Parramatta 44-10 on Saturday night. Latrell Mitchell scored a hat-trick of tries and kicked 6 goals. Penrith produced an outstanding defensive display to beat an undermanned Melbourne Storm side, 22-16 in Melbourne. The Panthers had no ball, especially in the first half, and had two players sin-binned in that first 40 minutes. Had they lost, they would have finished 8th. St George Illawarra, while clearly well down on confidence in attack, they came from behind to score an important 24-14 win over Newcastle, while South Sydney returned to form with a bang, scoring a massive 51-10 win over West's Tigers. Warriors held on to beat Canberra, and on Saturday night, Rugby League farewelled the great Jonathan Thurston, and he responded before a full house crowd at Robina Stadium. The architect of North Queensland 30 points to 26 win over Gold Coast, having trailed 18-6 at halftime. Warriors winger David Fusatua finishes just ahead of Valentine Holmes to be the leading try scorer, while brilliant Brisbane rookie Jermaine Asako scored a try and kicked 8 goals to finish on top of Latrell Mitchell as the leading point scorer by just 5 points. So week one of the NRL finals looks this way. A qualifying final on Friday night between second and third at Amy Park. The Melbourne Storm against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Saturday, 5:40 at the Olympic Stadium in Sydney. It's elimination between Penrith and the Warriors, followed by the qualifying final at the Sydney Football Stadium between the Sydney Roosters and Cronulla, first versus fourth. Then on Sunday from 10 past 4, the elimination final between Brisbane and St George Illawarra at Lang Park. So some great games in prospect. We also have the kick-off to the Women's Rugby League competition as well. 2 games Saturday from 3:05 at the Olympic Stadium. The Sydney Roosters face the Warriors. And on Sunday from 1:45, Brisbane play St George Illawarra at Lang Park. Producer of this podcast and of our rugby league coverage on ABC Grandstand is Ralph Tucker. Hello, Ralph. How are you going?
Hello, Andrew. Well, thank you.
Some big scorelines, mate. Some big crowds over the weekend. What stood out for you across the final round?
I've got to say, Penrith, nobody gave them much of a chance going down there to Melbourne. Although Melbourne were sort of decimated with a few injuries, they produced the goods just in a nick of time for finals. And you really saw that James Maloney's impact on that game set Penrith up for that victory down there, which was a rare one for them in Bleak City.
There were massive wins for Souths over West, Roosters over Parramatta, Brisbane over Manly. Which win of all of those three was the most impressive, do you think?
I thought Souths on that opening match of the round. I thought after a few losses in a row, they really clicked together. It was a tight tussle early, and then they really stepped on the gas. So I think South Sydney have, I guess, re-established themselves as premiership threats.
And we were looking on from afar, but gee, I thought it was all done really well, the farewell for Jonathan Thurston on the Gold Coast on Saturday.
Magnificent from go to woe. Who would have thought that they would have got a sellout at Robina Stadium there? It was just the way that it's sort of been in the last sort of 6 or 8 weeks, just the tribute farewell tour has been for Jonathan Thurston. The way that the players came out onto the ground with headgear.
That was
his
cool.
Kids were there, and he had a great speech at the end there as well.
Yeah, he did make a very classy speech after the game. Here's a portion of it.
To our boys, thank you very much for the memories that I've got on the field, but certainly the memories I've got off the field and the friendships. To the fans, once again, thanks to everyone for the support over the years. It's been a pleasure to play and perform in front of you. Thank you.
After wrapping up the minor premiership, Sydney Roosters captain Boyd Cordner spoke with our own Ruan Sims.
It's a great feather in the cap to be able to finish the year on top of the regular season. You know, we worked really hard all season. A bit shaky at the start of the year. As you would expect, we had a lot of new faces in some important positions. So, but once we got rolling, it went along pretty well. And, you know, we didn't really talk about it. Actually, we didn't talk about it at all during the weekend. I think it was the game, the Penrith and Melbourne game. Once that was done, there was a chance that we could get minor premiers. And, you know, we turned up tonight, just wanted to get our footy on the way we know how to. And I thought we'd done that. And, we ended up getting the minor premiership as well.
We spoke on Sunday with a very highly impressive 21-year-old St George Illawarra winger Jordan Pereira after the Dragons win over Newcastle, where he scored the game-clinching try, and he was not remotely concerned about where, when, or who the Dragons would have to face next.
No, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm so passionate about the game. Like, I honestly love playing football, so whoever we play against, like, if I get picked and I'm on that field and getting the run, like, I'm always going to be happy. Like, I've just got so much passion for the game, and just playing it is, for me, is just so much fun. Like, I love it, so... wherever we play, if we have to go to Brisbane or whatever, I don't even know what the potential scenarios might be, but that might be one of them, I think. So whatever.
You just go where you're told to go and run out there at the right time, right?
Yeah, 100%. I don't overthink it too much. And yeah, like I say, like, footy's fun for me. I love playing it. I'll play it for free. I'd play anywhere. So
he was a joy to speak with, Jordan Pereira, a very impressive individual. And no doubt he won't be overawed by the prospect of taking on Brisbane at Lang Park. All right, let's go.
The Weekend Wrap.
Yeah, let's review round 25 and look ahead to the finals. On the line is a man who has played and coached in finals games, Matthew Elliott. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Andrew. How are you on this exciting Monday?
Mate, couldn't be better. Enjoyed the weekend. Can't wait for next weekend. How different is this time of year for a player or a coach?
Yeah, there's a real turning point when you get into this semi-final series. The weather changes slightly, albeit it's a bit chilly in Sydney today, and everyone's mentality has a complete shift. So we heard Trent Robinson talk about a new competition. That's what we're going to experience now, a new competition. But the good thing about it is what's left is the best teams in the comp.
Do you have a favourite memory from being a player or coach from finals footy?
I guess, you know, getting to grand final day, albeit it wasn't a successful one, nothing really beats that. Just the whole, you know, the ceremonies leading into grand final and the mentality and actually sharing that space with really special people. So it'll have to be that for sure.
Let's look back to the final round. Which team's performance impressed you the most?
Yeah, that's pretty hard to say. But I thought South Sydney on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Because they came up against a team that was really willing initially. You know, the first 30 minutes of that game was really, really tough for them. And I thought, you know, they just... That scoreline that they got, they actually earned every second of it. West Tigers, you know, obviously put the cue in the rack a little bit in that second half, but South Sydney had to overcome that initial, torrent of effort that they had to endure. And if they didn't, you know, I'm quite sure West Tigers would have gone on with it when it, you know, disappeared as being actually been able to get the result. So South for mine.
So bearing in mind they had lost three in a row and then flogged West in the end, was that performance enough for you to believe that they are back and ready to go over the next month?
We're about to find out this weekend, mate. It, again, making those sort of... What I would say is that they did have, you know, three players that have been, you know, out with injury that came back into time. Obviously, the Sam Burgess question is a big one to answer.
Yeah.
But I would say that they'll feel really good about that performance and that they'll feel that they've turned a corner, but... Now, there's a couple of teams that are dragging four victories in a row into the semis as well.
Yes. Well, look, how far can Brisbane go? They've won three in a row in very impressive fashion. They do get to host this coming Sunday, but obviously finishing outside the top four is not ideal. How far can they go, do you think?
They're a frightening team for anyone playing in the competition. Like, some of their young forwards at the moment, my goodness, you just, you know, that, how to prepare against those guys. You don't have the full history of them, if you know what I mean, and they're improving very rapidly. The other one is their halves have been a little bit shaky because you haven't been able to work out who the dominant half is. Mm. I think Anthony Milford stepped up in the last few weeks in particular. And Darius Boyd being back at fullback has a bigger impact than we noticed because he does a lot of that defensive organising that we always ramble on about. But, you know, his work out the back end attack as well, is, I reckon, is, you know, put them up a couple of levels.
Now, you mentioned four straight wins. Cronulla in that bracket. They finished fourth. As you said on the radio over the weekend, you don't want to be playing Cronulla in the finals. What did you make of their win over Canterbury?
Yeah, it was a gritty game, wasn't it? And I still don't think they're playing their best footy, but Cronulla, that's what they've told us for about 3 years now. They can win without playing their best footy. You know, they've got some X-factor in their team as well. You know, Wade Graham back for two games in a row now, but that man with the number one jersey on, he is, you know, an incredible player. So they're a team that I think they're going to threaten for the flag, mate.
And what about the win for Penrith in Melbourne? What does that do for their confidence going into the finals in fifth position?
Well, their confidence certainly needed that injection, so it does a lot for it. And it just shows that with Maloney back in their team, there's a few things we know about him as an individual. He's a winner. But what we're learning about him this year is his mentality is contagious across the team. And the leadership role that he's taken on there has a big impact. It takes a lot of pressure off Cleary, who after playing Origin for the first time this year, you can just see that the emotional load on him has taken a bit of a toll.
All right, couple more things. Of the teams which have finished outside the top eight this year, so Wests, Canberra, Newcastle, Canterbury, North Queensland, Gold Coast, Manly and Parramatta, which, in your view, is most likely to dramatically improve its position on the table next season?
Yeah, I think two. I think Newcastle, obviously they've made some great recruitment for next year, so that squad continues to bolster, albeit it's still got a young profile about it. And I can't help but be impressed by the Bulldogs. I know that they've still got a couple of years of really tough creation of foundation, but there's some players in that team that we've witnessed over the last month, Andrew, that if they can continue that type of style of play, they're going to win a lot more games than they lose.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of the teams who miss out end up kicking stones at the end of the year and know they're in for a long, hard off-season. At least Canterbury end of the season feeling a bit optimistic about life. On to the finals. I'll get your tips and thoughts. Friday night, Melbourne against South at Amy Park.
Oh, I'm going to go with Melbourne. And ask me why.
Why?
It's a guess. And it's going to... This is why I'm so excited about the footy coming up, Andy, because you just don't know. Obviously, there's, hopefully Billy Slater's situation allows him to play this week. That would have a big bearing on it. And obviously other players being available would certainly influence that. But I'm going to go with Melbourne.
Okay. Penrith and the Warriors at the Olympic Stadium?
Yeah, I'm on the Panthers in that one, Andrew. I think that that little corner they've turned will be really helpful for it, albeit, the best Warriors come, it's going to be a tough game.
Roosters, Cronulla, Sydney Football Stadium.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go for Cronulla. That doesn't mean I'm writing the Roosters off for winning the premiership, but I just think Cronulla might steal this one.
All right. And Brisbane at home to St George Illawarra.
Yeah, I think the Broncos win this and they win it convincingly.
Yeah, I'm with you. That on the surface, at least, seems to be perhaps a one-sided finals game, but who knows? Matthew Elliott, thanks for the weekend wrap. I'll see you on Friday.
On Friday, that's in 4 days' time, is that right?
Yes, but in the meantime, I'll let you go back to your spaceship.
Okay, thank you.
Tries of the week.
Referee will have a look and awards the try.
Yes, let's get to them. Back to Thursday night. South Sydney ran amok against the Tigers, racing in 8 tries, including one to Angus Crichton.
Comes away to Walker, back on the inside. It goes to George Burgess, straight away from Farrah. Now he's put down 11 metres out. Lawrence came in over the top with the assist for Empire. Now they work it to the right. Angus Crichton, he bursts his way through Luke Brooks and one other to score. Referee Ashley Klein awards the try to Angus Crichton. It'll be his third try of the year. And this seesawing game sees South back in front, with Russell Crowe watching on. It's the Rabbitohs 12, West Tigers 10. Kick to come, Crichton the try.
Friday night, the Warriors beat Canberra 20 points to 16. And it turns out our friend the Fuss, David Fusatua, scored a try and it clinched for him leading try scorer honours.
Luke will come to the right side, the right edge to Johnson. Short ball to Heko with a flick out the back. And David Fusatua incredibly over in the southwest corner. And they swarm over Peter Heko. How did he get that one out? That was an Ali Lau, a teeny type offload.
Indeed. Penrith's defensive performance was the main headline out of the six-point win over Melbourne, but the Panthers also produced some great attack in the second half, including this stunning intercept by Christian Crichton.
Jack sends the left Drinkwater. Overlap. It comes away to Blair. Oh, Crichton! What a performer! He gets up. He's over the 30, the 20. Shut the gate. See ya. That is a remarkable effort by the winger for Penrith, Christian Crichton. He went all out for an intercept. He has somehow caught it. Then he got to his feet and sprints away to score when it looked like Blair was going to link up with Adokar and Melbourne would score at the other end. Crichton, a remarkable try. Penrith 22, Melbourne 10, 7.5 to go. I'm about to expire.
Thankfully, I didn't. St George Illawarra scored a late try to clinch a win over Newcastle, and it was scored by Jordan Pereira.
Has it been stripped? No. Here you go. This will be the game. If this is the water, Pereira races away. He puts it down in the left-hand corner. Henry Perinara wants to have a look at this. He's talking to his ref. Now, if there's a strip penalty, let's tune in.
We're back to zero tackle. No try.
Will they classify that he's just making
Tim
a tackle?
Tim Lafai is attempting to make a tackle. It's a loose carry by Newcastle.
So it's
no breach by St George Illawarra at this point. We're playing on.
This will be a try then.
This will be a try.
It was. North Queensland's fight back against Gold Coast was not only special for Jonathan Thurston, but for his long-term teammate Gavin Cooper, who scored a try in a ninth straight game, which is historic.
Now an opportunity for Thurston. Goes to the air for Cooper. Cooper goes up and puts it down. We've seen history. Gavin Cooper on Jonathan Thurston kick. He's done it, Gavin Cooper. He has scored nine tries in nine
games in a row.
He breaks Frank Burge's record in the history of the NRL. No forward has ever done that. And it's thanks to Jonathan Thurston.
What a combination they've been. The Sydney Roosters cruised past Parramatta with Blake Ferguson scoring two of their eight tries, his 100th and 101st.
14-6 to the Roosters, played to Friend. They stack to the right, Cooper Cronk. He works it that way as well. Keary floats a doozy over the top to Ferguson, who applies the Superman cape and flies through the air, holding it in one hand very nonchalantly. And he scores his second try of the night, the 101st of his career in the corner.
On Sunday, Cronulla scored six tries to beat Canterbury. And yes, Valentine Holmes not only set up three, but he scored this one.
The last tackle, Brayley, Townsend runs it, give the ball away to Valentine Holmes, beats one, beats two, scores! Great footwork and evasive qualities from Valentine Holmes.
While Corey Oates was on fire, racing in four tries as Brisbane thrashed Manly, including this one.
He tries to grovel for the in-goal area and does, but it's fielded by Milford. He gets away from a tackler. He's over the 10. He doesn't fancy himself to go the length. He's looking infield left and right. He's up to the 40. He grubbers for Oates, who's steaming in support down the western side. The foul is gathered brilliantly by Corey Oates. And that is a try of the year contender in the last half hour of the premiership.
The recovery.
Let's get to injury news to come out of the weekend and looking ahead to the finals. And Ralph Tucker is with me. Ralphie, why don't we start with the Melbourne Storm, because they had so many missing last Friday night against Penrith. How are they shaping up for this Friday night against South Sydney?
Well, Billy Slater is expected back. He was a late withdrawal, had to attend to a family illness. Cameron Munster, that knee injury. Brody Croft as well, a knee injury. They're both expected back. Suliasi Vinuvalu will have a test on that injured hamstring, probably back this week. Brandon Smith, they're hoping to get him back. So a few troops back on deck for Melbourne, and they'll need them by the look of things.
Yeah, that should be a great game, shouldn't it? Sam Burgess hobbled off the field late. They were saying hamstring twinge. I can't imagine he's any doubt to play against Melbourne.
Precautionary, will be good to go.
Josh Dugan left the field with a calf, was it yesterday, for Cronulla?
Yeah, again, precautionary for Josh Dugan. We'll have it checked this morning at recovery, but they're expecting him to be okay. Just doing the rounds of a couple of the other clubs. Latrell Mitchell, he came off, or well, didn't come off, but looked to be hobbling a little bit late in that game against Parramatta. He'll be fine. We're looking at Gareth Widdop, which will be a huge in for St George Illawarra. He'll be back, along with Ewan Aitken. They were saying a few weeks for him, but they're very hopeful hopeful that he'll be back for them as well, which will be huge for the Dragons against Brisbane. Speaking of Brisbane, Andrew McCulloch, he rested from the win over Manly because of the concussion protocol, so they'll have him back as well.
All right, and I'll ask Jaden Brayley when we speak to him shortly about Jesse Ramien and Ricky Latilli for the Sharks.
Now it's time for Weekend Weirdness. What was that about?
Great question. More weirdness out of the weekend coverage on ABC Grandstand as per normal. Let's start with Andrew Ryan, the noisemaker. Now, West Tigers hooker Jacob Little was copping a bit of a hard time defensively, and Bob Catt gave us a real insight as to what the player was thinking on the field.
And one of those carries in particular from George Burgess off the dropout, I watched young Jacob Little who'd just come on the field, and I was just inside his head watching big Burgess coming at him, just going...
Head noise. Matthew Elliott revealed last week that he travels to and from NRL games in his own personal spaceship. Didn't that answer some questions? And he was at it again.
You can send us a text 0467 920 222. Matty's been using that spaceship to jump into the future and back. He sounds way too confident with his prediction, says Wingman. Here's Parramatta. They win the scrum, and it comes right to George Jennings in centre field. He's tackled 14 short of halfway.
Oh, yeah, took it for a spin today.
The ball played to Reid Marnie. Sends it right on the open side.
Yes. I called the game in Melbourne with my old mate Johnny Gibbs. He and I first called a game together back in 1994. In fact, it was my first ever NRL call. And Gibbsy was on fire after Wonga Blake scored from a James Maloney kick. What sort of a kick was it exactly, Gibbsy?
It went right across the field from west to east. At the southern end, it went into the southeastern corner. It was flying. It was like a missile, a projectile.
Like
a, yeah, but it was an unusual. It was like a drone going up and down.
It
almost had wings on and flapped.
Flapping your arms!
Well, I'm telling you, he couldn't take it. And then he just took the steam off it. And as a result, it didn't go dead ball line. He slowed it up enough for Wonga Blake to go through and score.
From Maloney.
This is fantastic.
14-10. Penrith leads Melbourne. 12 minutes 20 gone second half.
Come on, Nathan. Kick a goal.
Stop cheering. Cleary, 21 metres out, a metre in from touch. We are broadcasting into Victoria, you know.
I can see Cleary now.
Sit down. Put your arms together. Fold them if you have to.
Gibbsy, you need character. And reluctantly, I include myself this week. Canterbury forward Rhys Martin had kicked 21 goals in a row. 21. He lined up a conversion yesterday, and once again, I'd proved to be the mock. Sorry, Rhys.
So, Rhys Martin, we may as well go around the grounds now. You know he'll kick it. This will be for his 22nd in a row. It's no gimme, though. 21 metres out, 9 in from the western touchline. Cronulla 16, Canterbury 6. I've just mocked him, haven't I? 12 and a half minutes to go, first half.
It's on a streak, mate.
I know, but Dino, he's much better than my mocking ability. Rhys Martin. I hope so. Come on, Rhys. 16-6 to the Sharks. Still to come today. Brisbane and Manly, the ultimate game of the 2018 NRL season. Brisbane need to win by 24-plus to host. Here comes Martin. He moves in.
Oh! I've done it to him. The streak's over.
Sorry, Rhys. The streak ends at 21. He's missed it. Cronulla 16, Canterbury 6. Let's go around the grounds, Julian Abbott.
So I may well have mocked Rhys Martin with his kick, but I didn't mock Cronulla by tipping the Sharks against Canterbury at least. As anticipated, a really good game of footy at the Olympic Stadium with the Sharks winning 30 points to 18, and they scored 6 tries to 3. Cronulla's highly impressive hooker, Jaden Brayley, was his normal busy self, making 32 tackles and providing good service out of dummy half, wearing headgear, I think, for the first time. Jaden's on the line. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Mate, very well. The story about the headgear, it had something to do with removing fluid from your ear recently, didn't it?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago against Manly, my ear sort of sawed up a bit after the game, and I got it drained, and then the week after that, against Melbourne, I got a knock on the exact same spot, and it just blew up ridiculously, and they actually couldn't drain it with a needle, so they had to knock me out and remove it surgically. So, since then, I've just got to wear headgear from now on, I'm pretty sure.
Wow, okay, that's more significant than we had thought, because you're too young for cauliflower ears.
Yeah, I know. Well, starting in the 20s, actually, a couple of years ago, and it's just something that's built up over time, and you know, it's a bit of a worry being 22 and having cauliflower ears. I'm not sure how I'm going to look in a couple of years' time, but I'll probably have to just keep wearing the headgear, I think.
Even off the field?
Yeah, I know. I think so too.
Now, well done yesterday. I spoke with Luke Lewis on Saturday, Jaden, and he was certainly expecting the informed Bulldogs to throw the kitchen sink at you, and they did.
Yeah, for sure. We're going in that game ready for a big game. Everyone knows how well the Bulldogs have been going over the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And they've always, I think we looked at previous games and all the scores have been, come within 6 points. So we knew it was going to be a big game, and I'm just, you know, stoked we got the win.
And it was good to see both Louis and Wade Graham finish a game together, because they've had lots of injury issues this year and both key players over the next month, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, and a bit of a worry at the start of the game when Louis went down and had to go off for the HIA, but you know, it's all about building combinations, I guess, and, you know, I think we said after the game, we still haven't, you know, put a full performance in, and we're still not quite happy how we're playing, and I guess it's sort of not a bad thing, considering, you know, how well we can be.
Yeah, it's been interesting, hasn't it, because you have battled inconsistency through the season, but I guess the mood is at least good now. You've won four straight as you head into the finals.
Yeah, for sure. I think the mood's pretty exciting at the moment. You know, all the boys are... I think it's a bit of a different feeling compared to last year. I know we played finals last year, but I think, you know, finishing that top four, you know, makes that grand final hopefully seem a little bit more achievable. And, you know, we've just got to put everything we've got into Saturday night against the Roosters and, you know, hopefully, you know, come away with a win and be in that preliminary final.
Yeah, it seemed, what we were saying in the call yesterday, Jaden, it seemed a really good hit out for you guys going into the finals because, as we've discussed, Canterbury threw a fair bit at you, so you're under some defensive pressure even late in that second half, and you managed to score six tries, so the attack by and large did start to flow. So it was pretty much what you would want heading into a finals game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we defended our try line a fair bit as well after some full field breaks from the Morris boys, and you know, we're going to be it's not going to get any easier by any means in the next few weeks. So it was good to sort of keep them to 18 points, I guess. A little bit less would have been nice, but you know, to still come away with six tries and score 30 points is pretty pleasing.
Valentine Holmes, what a special talent. It's almost hard to believe he was struggling with confidence and form at the start of the season, because I reckon he's still a very young man, obviously, but I reckon he's just about in career best form, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on fire. Every week, for 10 weeks or so, he's just produced for us. And, you know, he's probably been our best player all year. So, you know, I'm stoked that he's fit and healthy, and hopefully he can do some damage in the next few weeks.
Well, he nearly ended up the leading try scorer, or equal. He scored one, but the one he set up early in the game, we thought he couldn't have nearly scored himself. He was very unselfish.
Yeah, I think Josh Jackson was coming around with a cover tackle, but he probably still could have got there. But I think he set up Kurt Capel with his first try of the year. He was talking about it all week, how he hasn't scored all year. But, he was pretty unselfish. I think he probably wanted to get his assist up as well, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, we look ahead and we'll get to the Roosters game specifically in a tick, but there must be a good feeling. You touched on this earlier in your playing group, considering the recent finals experience your team has had, especially winning that comp a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for sure. It's so exciting. I know it's still the first day of the week, but everyone's you know, in really good spirits. And as I said before, it's sort of a different feeling compared to last year when we finished fifth. I know in 16 they finished in the top four, and that second bite of the cherry is massive, and you know, we all just can't wait for it.
The Roosters, look, Paul Gallen and Shane Flanagan said yesterday they believe it's in the forwards that you guys can get the edge on the minor premiers. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I saw a look at our pack, and I think probably we've got one of the best packs in the comp easily. You know, and they're all firing at the moment. You know, Feeder and Pryor are really good in the front row, and you know, everyone knows how Gal's going. So, you know, if we match him in the middle, we know what Valentine Holmes and those sort of blokes can do on the edges. So if we're in the middle, you know, obviously we'll be going all right.
Will Jesse Raymond and Ricky Latelli be available?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm sure they'll be all right. I think I'm not too sure. I'll have to speak to them, but Last week they said they should be right for first week of finals.
Yeah, well, that would be a pleasant selection headache for Shane Flanagan. And what impresses you most about the Roosters, Jaden?
I've got to say probably the young blokes, Latrell and Joseph Manu on the edges. They've been really good the last few weeks and bringing so much X factor to their game. And yeah, everyone's obviously talking about how good Latrell's going, but I think Joseph Manu has shown, you know, just how good he is on that right edge. So, yeah. And you know, obviously Ferguson with his carries coming out of yardage is massive for him. So I think we're going to have to be good on their back five and obviously be effective on their middles as well. So, you know, I'm so excited. I just can't wait for Saturday.
Yeah, you mentioned Joseph Manu. I think he's about the most improved player in the game. It is an exciting time ahead. Can't wait for the finals. Cronulla hooker Jaden Brayley, appreciate your time. Well done yesterday and good luck throughout the final series starting this Saturday night.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Jaden Brayley. So let's get into the finals and our tips. Ralph Tucker, our tips from round 25. You picked 7 out of 8 metres, 5. So well done. We'll move on.
I'm back.
You're back. You are
front. By two.
Carving you up earlier in the year. Mm-mm. But we did start afresh, so I'll give you that.
Show me about the hiatus for you.
Let's go into Friday night, Melbourne against South at Amy Park. You go first.
What a cracking game this shapes up to be.
Yep.
Storm with their key players back. I like them against South.
I like South against Melbourne. I think South can beat them. So I'll tip South and put the mock on them. Saturday, Penrith and the Warriors at the Olympic Stadium.
Another great game, the way it all sort of shapes up. The Warriors, can they do it in a final series away from home?
Can Penrith start half decently?
Oh,
I'm going to tip Penrith. Okay. I was just about to say I'm going to tip Penrith. Saturday night, Roosters and Cronulla at the SFS.
I think Cronulla, the way that they've been, as you've been sort of saying, hiding in the weeds.
Mm.
I think they'll emerge from the weeds and knock over the minor premiers.
Yeah, I'm going to tip them as well against the Roosters, based on their forwards. And Matt Elliott's tipped them as well. So Roosters are absolute living certainties. And Sunday, Brisbane at home to St George Illawarra. Again, we could mock the heck out of Brisbane here. I think they win reasonably comfortably.
I think St George will get it done. I've just got this feeling in my bones. I can't explain it, but I just think everything that they've been through the last little while, Ben Hunt could be on a redemption story for all time. So I think the Dragons might get it done up there.
All right, so we're different on a couple. You have Melbourne, I have South. You have St George Illawarra, I have Brisbane. A reminder too, we'll be calling the women's NRL game Saturday from 3:05. It's the Sydney Roosters playing the Warriors. And on Sunday from 1:45 at Lang Park, it's Brisbane taking on the Dragons. Both games broadcast live on ABC Radio. In lower grade finals, week two, with all games in the New South Wales Cup and Jersey Fleet now sudden death. Saturday, Jubilee Oval in the New South Wales Cup. Newtown plays Mounties. And on Sunday night, Canterbury takes on Wyong. Jersey Fleet, Saturday at Jubilee Oval, it's Newcastle playing the Sydney Roosters. And on Sunday at the same venue, Cronulla plays Canterbury. In the Queensland Cup on Saturday, sudden death between the Easts Tigers and Ipswich Jets from 1:05 at Suzuki Stadium. And on Saturday night from 6, the major semi between minor premier Redcliffe and the Burley Bears at Dolphin Stadium. And in the Queensland under-20s, the Victoria Thunderbolts will play Northern Pride in sudden death, while Townsville, the minor premiers, takes on North Devils in the major semi. That's it. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. My thanks to Jaden Brayley, Matthew Elliott, my producer Ralph Tucker, and David Stein for helping piece all of this together. Hope you can join us on ABC Radio from 7 o'clock for the 2018 final series on Friday night. I'm Andrew Moore. Thanks for listening. And remember, winning starts on Monday.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week for Winning Starts on Monday.